Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome everybody on this special Sunday as we are celebrating our 200th anniversary as a congregation and as a church in existence. Technically, it was a year ago that it was 200, but through COVID, we had to cancel everything and make some adjustments. But we are so glad that you're all here today to join together on this 16th Sunday after Pentecost, where we can celebrate together and thank God for 200 years of ministry and blessing. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that later on in the message. I'm going off lectionary, and so let's begin our celebration today by joining together and standing and singing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together there for our call to worship. God has been our refuge from one generation to another.
From age to age, the Lord has been our God.
God has nurtured and fed us through many generations. God has revealed God's self to us in word and sacrament. May God continue to anoint and prosper our ministry.
Praise the Lord forevermore.
Well, let's join together there and sing a favorite of mine, "To God Be the Glory," on number 31 or on the PowerPoint this morning. Great things He has done. To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
People
So much to be thankful and praising the Lord. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer this morning. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the work you have done in this place. We give you thanks for your love and faithfulness. When we have called on your name, you made your presence known to us. When we prayed, you heard us. You have accepted our praise and listened to our confessions and forgiven our sins. You have sent your Holy Spirit to heal, comfort, and empower. For all your mighty works in and through Lost Creek Church, we give you thanks. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And the choir is going to come and share a special number with us today. Morning. Yes. Lots of old, I might get in trouble for asking this question. Does anybody know how old your grandparents are? Instead of naming specifically, maybe you could say they're in their 70s or 80s or, okay, they're in their 80s, okay? 60s, okay? Anybody, do you know how old your grandma or grandpa was? Okay, that's all right. The reason I asked that, so we have, if somebody said 60s, and I'm sure there might be some more in their 60s, and then 80s, and there could be some in their 70s, and we even have a great grandma, you know, so there's some in that here today. But can you think a little bit, so that's 70, 60, 70, 80, 90, but can you imagine 200? 200, that's a long time. Come here, man. Come with me, man. Here. Let me show you something. Look at these names. William Wilkes. I don't even know who that is. I'm sure there's somebody. Harry might know who it is. Frank Wilkes. William Wilkes. Adam Wilkes. And if we keep going down through, there's all these names on the windows. What do you think those names are for? What do you think? Yeah, people that went to church here. Some of them a long time ago. Now, not 200 years ago. I don't think anybody on these windows were here 200 years ago. Because 200 years ago was when the church first started over on the road over there. On Green Road, was it in a house? I think it was, and started there. But now, we have this church here. You can come back over for a minute. I won't talk too much longer. And then I'll let you downstairs for this reading. Is 200 years, people came here. And guess what they did? They sang, they worshiped, they read their Bibles, they listened to hundreds of sermons. Poor people. You can laugh at that, so that's all right. they made pot pie suppers. I don't know if they were making caramels way back when, but they did different outreach. Hey, you know what? There's a creek right over here on the other side of Betty Bear's house. They used to baptize people down in that creek. Burr, can you imagine how cold that was at times? Well, yeah, I don't know how often they get into the winter. They might have. Yeah. But, so they did all of those things. And people came here and they worshiped and they ate and they worked and they did all kinds of things. And because of that, you get to come here today. Because this church is still here. And guess what? One day, when you're older, if you still live around here, you may come to this church, and you might bring your kids here. I know that's a long ways to think, isn't it? Yeah, Jason's rolling his eyes. But you know what? That's how things keep going, from generation to generation. And so we thank God today for all of God's blessings. And guess what? God doesn't just make things happen, although God can't do that. But God uses you and I to make things happen. When we work and give and use our talents and sing and all of those things. Okay? All right. You guys can go on downstairs. And we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share before we go to prayer this morning. Going to kind of have to move through quickly today because we have communion a little bit later on. So, yeah.
Susie had a stroke, And then they found a golf size grade 2 in the back of her head. So,
okay.
And COVID is very bad down there, so her husband Charlie was the only one allowed in there. And all the kids are in the parking lot.
Okay. So she's asking prayers for a good friend of hers' sister?
Susie.
And who had a stroke, and they found out that she's got a brain tumor and needs God's touch really bad. So someone else. I thought I saw a couple other hands. Anybody else this morning? Go ahead.
Unspoken
this morning. We know God knows that. And
from the prayer group, we have Skip Melvin's family because he passed away. And then Angie Troyer, we prayed for, she got a kidney transplant. And the kidney wasn't working in the woman sent her home. But for 5 days now, we've heard nothing. So we really want prayer for her.
What's her name, Angie? Okay, that's what I thought I heard. Yes.
Unspoken.
I saw, yeah.
I just want to say thanks for all the prayers. If you don't know, I was in the emergency room Thursday night with blood pressure. It was 197 or 117. Today it was fine. They think it's from my acid reflex, and my hiatal hernia has gotten bigger, so that's going to be a surgery sometime.
Okay. We want to, and I just think, I know you're thanking people for prayers, but I think we should keep Nancy in our prayers and continue lifting her up until they'll be able to maybe do that surgery. Yeah. Yes, thank you for reminding me. If you didn't know, Tom passed away, and so we want to pray for them. Someone else, I thought I saw another hand. I miss it. Yes, yeah, she's been facing some health issues too, right? Yes. So we want to pray for Kathy today. Anybody else this morning? Yes. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yes, and so we want to, when we're thinking about that and the different ones, I think we're going to, before I come to pray, she'll play. And then we're going to stop when she, and we're going to have just a moment of silence as we reflect back and think about those that lost their lives in New York and Washington and Pennsylvania, and also our men and women that have lost their lives in all of this that's gone on. So we're going to do that. Anybody else before we go to, yeah, Betty. Okay. Okay, so I heard something about therapy.
Insurance has given me 2 more weeks of therapy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's usually, it's like 20 or 21 days. I know my dad was only allowed to be in there for 20 days after. Sometimes you can get an extension if the physical therapist recommends it. So, anybody else then? So we want to remember all of those that have just been mentioned. We want to pray for Betty Kirk. She is going to have radiation treatment tomorrow on several spots. The one big one that's pressing up against her kidney that I mentioned. And then Tom said there was a few others that are right there within that area that they've just, when they did the last scan, they're going to be hitting those all tomorrow. Pray for Tom. I think we mentioned last week, but I talked to him. He's got shingles, and he said the only way he's not in pain is if he is on the pain medicine constantly, you know, that they gave to him. So we want to remember Tom, and then we want to remember Richard Walker. I didn't get a call him here at the end of the week. He's supposed to be going in and seeing one of his specialists here at the beginning of the month. And then he had two more that he was going to meet. So I'm not sure where he's at on that, trying to find out what's going on there. So appreciate your prayers for him. And so as she plays, we will give you a chance to pray there for some of these names. Oh, okay. And we're asking for prayers for Bruce. Yes. And I think he may be going in. If some of you had prayed for him that Jody shared, but they delayed his treatment last week because his white blood cell count was down in the dumps and his potassium was low. So he got that boosted back up and everything. And it may be Thursday or so. We're not exactly sure what day, but they may be doing his next treatment this week. So appreciate your prayers for him. It's been a real struggle with weakness and strength here. So, okay. So, and then when she finishes, we'll have that moment of silence and then I'll close out. Lord, today as we have gathered together in your name to celebrate 200 years of ministry, we are so thankful for your grace, for your blessings. We're thankful for the faithfulness of your people through generations. And God, we are thankful for all that you do in our lives as we think about those that have been mentioned today that are in need of touches today. We think about Kathy today. We think about Nancy today. We think about Angie today. We think about Tom today and Susie and Mike and Betty and Richard and Bruce. We ask for your touch, your healing grace, your miracle working power, your strength for faith during this time in what they are facing, what they're going through. We pray for wisdom for the doctors, and we just ask that your hand will be upon each one of them. We also think of the Fulton family and the Milby family, God, for your peace and your comfort today and your grace. We think about these two unspoken needs, Lord, that have been mentioned and shared. Lord, we know that you know what those are, and we just ask for your touch and your hand to be there. We think about our first responders and all of our medical personnel that have been working in some desperate situations during these times in places around our country and around the world. We just pray for your grace, your sustaining work and strength for them. And we ask that you would continue to use us to be a blessing in whichever way we can, whether it's by sharing words of encouragement or prayers or however that may be. And Lord, we also think about, as we have reflected over the last few days with 9/11 and all that's going on, and we're grateful for all of our first responders and those that ran in to situations to help and save and to make a difference. And we're reflecting on those today. And Lord, I pray for those that lost loved ones and through all of this over the past few days have maybe opened up memories and wounds and grief again. We pray for your healing touch and your grace and your hand in those situations. And Lord, we're grateful today that we have the opportunity to celebrate. We just ask your blessing upon the rest of the time in our service today. And as we break the bread and drink of the cup here in a little bit and share together in your grace and your love. And Lord, as we then go downstairs and celebrate and share together, as we eat together and fellowship, ask your blessing upon that time also, Lord. And we thank you for these things as we ask them now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And we are so grateful for your faithfulness through the years. And we know that God is the one that takes care of us and watches over us. And so as we give today, God bless you. Thank you. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for what you've continued to do in this congregation through the generations and what you're going to continue to do in the generations to come. Use this offering that we might continue your work and minister as you see and lead, as we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter 3, a very familiar passage that I think some of us know and are aware of. Oh, by the way, before I say any more, Brad, let me know that there are 62 here today. And so that means everybody that is here are able to stay if you would like to join us for our meal, catered meal today. So let me move on here. So Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be reading verses 12 through 16. I have not yet reached perfection, but I press on, hoping to take hold of that for which Christ once took hold of me. My friends, I do not claim to have hold of it yet. What I do say is this: forgetting what is behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press towards the finishing line to win the heavenly prize to which God has called me in Christ Jesus. We who are mature should keep to this way of thinking. If on any point you think differently, this also God will make plain to you. Only let our conduct be consistent with what we have already attained. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart will be pleasing in God's sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, speaking of anniversaries, I ran across this. A man was reading his paper early one morning at the breakfast table. His wife came over to him, gave him a hug, smiled, and said, "I bet you don't know what today is, do you?" He looked at her and said, "Well, of course I know what day it is," and went back to reading his paper. The reality was, is he didn't have a clue. He was afraid that he would make his wife upset, and she was really sensitive about special occasions. He thought to himself, "Is it her birthday? That must be it." So after he got to work, he called the florist and had a bouquet of white roses sent to his wife's work. Then as the day went on, he began to worry that the flowers may not be enough for this important day. And he goes, "Oh my gosh, what if it's our anniversary?" So he went to the jewelry store from his office, picked up a beautiful gold necklace, and he had it special delivered to his wife. As he started home from work, he decided, "Man, maybe I should stop and get a box of chocolates to bring to her just in case." So he pulls into the driveway, and his wife runs out and gives him a big hug and greets him. As he gets out of the car and presents her with the box of chocolates, she throws her arms around him and says, "Oh, honey, this is the best Groundhog Day I've ever had." To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Today is a special day for us as a church that we've chosen to set aside. And if you haven't figured out yet, today we celebrate 200 years of God's faithfulness to us as a church. As we look at this morning, I just want to real quickly reflect on two things that I have taken out of Paul's reading there to the Philippians, where he was encouraging them. And I think a couple things are going on there. He's not only encouraging them, but he is encouraging himself. Do you notice how personal what he said in our reading today was? Talking about how he's not yet arrived, but he's pressing on for what God has for him completely in Christ Jesus. And so as we look at this, I just want to share two things as we think about this today as a church. Not so much, yes, we often personalize it and make it very individual, But today, I want us to think about it as a church as a whole. Church as a whole. First of all, we are not finished. We are not finished. In other words, we have not completed our mission. God has called us, church, to a mission here. That's why we're here. That's why God continues to sustain us. Do you know that within 2 years of me being pastor here, God opened up a door and blessed this congregation with $80,000, money that we did not have because of somebody that attended here long ago, was living in a nursing home up in Perrysburg with his family, and gave us that money. Half of it we put into a CD, which is still earning some interest. The other half, we put air conditioning in this throughout the church, and we put a new sound system in. That's just some of the little ways that God has blessed our congregation. And to me, what Paul says there is an amazing statement. I mean, we're talking about the Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote half the New Testament. He's older now. And if anybody had the right to claim that he had arrived and had finished his mission, he could have been that. But he doesn't claim that. He says, I still have a mission to carry out. I still have a work. I still have to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the Roman Empire. And yet Paul says, I haven't completed my mission yet. And how does he know that? Well, if you read carefully between the lines a little bit, the implication is I won't arrive and I won't have completed my mission in life till the day I die. And then he goes on, if we would have read the verses before, he will says, I will have attained, or he says, I'm hoping to attain the resurrection. I have not reached perfection. I'm still working. And here's my point this morning. God has done some wonderful things through this church in the last 200 years. And anniversaries are a great way to celebrate those times. As we look back and think about the wonderful moments in this congregation, we celebrate the great things God has done. Now, I just shared one, but maybe you can remember something that happened long ago when that you remember where God did some kind of a miracle or something special through people that sacrificed and gave and did things. Rhea, I know not everybody knows this, but at B. Burton's funeral, Rhea had shared back when B was treasurer of this church. And they had just come through summer and was going into late fall, and they had about a huge fuel oil bill coming due, and they weren't sure how they were going to pay it, and they didn't have the money. And here's what B said at the congregational meeting. She said, we're going to pay the pastor, we're going to pay the electric, keep the lights on, and you can all wear coats and come to church this winter. Now, we kind of chuckle about that, don't we? But it just shows you the determination and the sacrifice that people were willing. And guess what? You've done the same thing. There's been times when there's been needs have arose in this church and you gave, or you did something else, or whatever it may have been, or maybe somebody passed away and this ministry was no longer going on and you stepped in and took it over. That is the some part of the great things. And that's the thing. God does great things through us. That's how God does great things. He does them through you and I. If you read through the entire Bible outside of some unique miracles, but they were always done through somebody. Whether they were done through the people of God, through a prophet, through a priest, through Jesus, they were always done through people. And that's what we celebrate today, that what God has done. And here's what I believe. God has great things in store for us yet. Yet. And we've been so blessed as a congregation for 200 years. But we still have a long way to go. God is not done with us yet. And I want you to hear. And I thank God for every one of you here that is here today. You know, pastoring through the years for over 25 years, I've seen people come and go, But I've always seen the core people that stay and minister and direct and guide. And God brought some of you here specifically to keep going what God wants to do here. And I believe that with all my heart. So we're not finished. And the second thing, obviously, is we press on in everything. Everything. Paul says, I'm straining towards what lies ahead. Paul has a way of taking this metaphor, and he says, we must keep racing till the end. We must keep racing. I didn't highlight that, did I? Racing is your word to fill in there if you didn't get that. I didn't realize I didn't have it. Paul has this way of using the Olympic race, Roman, Greco-Roman racing, as a metaphor that he often likens to ministry and to the Christian life. It's interesting that the Greek word here for press on or persevere can also mean persecute. Bet you didn't know that. And Paul, so here's the idea, I think, what Paul, now remember, we know him as the Apostle Paul, but who was he before he was the Apostle Paul? He was Saul, yes, you do know. Thank you. Saul who persecuted, went after, ran after, chased down Christians to try to destroy them and stop. And I love this. This is God. God comes into the middle of that when he was off on his next adventure to get somebody and stops it. Stops Saul in his tracks. Blinds him and says, and I love these words, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Wait a minute. Who was he persecuting? The Christians. Notice how Jesus identifies with us. When we are persecuted, Jesus is persecuted. Think about that. That's powerful. And he wants us to keep on. But after he encountered Christ, and this is what's so unique about God, after he encountered Christ, he quit persecuting the Christians and pursued and chased after Christ and that mission that God called him to be a blessing to the churches. You know, as we look to the future, we must have that same determination as those who went before us. Those people who worked, served, gave, so that we might have what we have here today. I can't imagine, I think, was there a time, somebody help me with this, I may be wrong on this, did they have to dig out part of this basement down under here at one time? Does anybody remember that? Yeah. I think there was a time, I can't imagine that, digging out that basement and doing that, and what that involved. And people, and you included, have stepped out in faith, and God has empowered you to build this place for worship, word, and sacraments. And people sacrificed when the church didn't have the funds. And they continued because they believed they were leaving a legacy for the future of this congregation or the future of this community and so forth. And you know what? We're doing the same thing. We're continuing that legacy even now of ministry by pressing on, reaching out, trying new things, and making a difference. And you know what? I don't know why I thought of this. I chuckle because there have been times in my three churches that I pastored where people came up and said, Jason, I want to try this. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I wasn't sure. But you know what? I didn't want to squelch somebody's enthusiasm to be able to try to reach out and make a difference or start a ministry or whatever else. And we never know what God will use and what God won't use. And so let me close by sharing this. Over 2,000 years ago, a young Greek artist named Timanthes, something like that, studied under a respected tutor. After several years, the teacher's efforts seemed to have paid off when he finally painted an exquisite work of art. Unfortunately, He became so focused on that painting that he just would spend his days gazing at it and wouldn't move on and do something else. So one morning, when he arrived at his place to admire his painting and his work again, he was shocked to find it was all blotted out with paint. And he was mad, and he was angry, and he ran to his teacher, who admitted that he had destroyed the painting. And here's what his tutor and teacher said: "I did it for your own good. That painting was impeding your progress. Start again and see if you can even do better." Well, guess what? He did paint again. And here's what he's most famous for. You can barely see it. I hope you can see it a little bit better there. It's called the Sacrifice of Iphigenia, which is regarded as one of the finest paintings of antiquity. We celebrate 200 years of existence in ministry, but it's not the end. We got to keep on going. There's new things that God wants us to do that we can be a blessing. And by that celebration today, we are really celebrating the goodness and grace of God working through us to be a blessing. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Amen. Amen. Well, let's prepare our hearts this morning as we're going to share in communion together. And we always share in a thanksgiving and confession. And I'm going to pull that up for us this morning here. And I want to invite all of you, if you will join with me, as we just take a moment to pray this together and ask God's touch today. Oh God, You have offered Your steadfast and forgiving love to us in the life of Your Son, Jesus Christ. As we give thanks for Him at the table He has prepared, and as we break this bread, we ask that Your Spirit would descend upon us, cleanse us, and make us more in His likeness, serving and giving from the fullness of life which You have provided. Cup, we pray that all of us who partake of it may be made one in Christ, one with You, one with each other in fellowship and service to all the world. Amen. Let's receive of that today and know that not only does He cleanse and forgive, but He also has shared His life with us that we might be the people that He's called us to be, to further His work in our world. Receive of it today in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses that are going to be helping us out this morning, if that they would make their way to the back there as we prepare this morning. Remember, as I've often shared, you don't have to be a member of this congregation or even don't even have to attend it regularly. Whenever we share in communion, we believe that the Lord invites all to come and receive of His grace today. So let's prepare our hearts as we receive today. Thank you.
said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together this morning. Later, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and blessed and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink from it and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes." I want to say one thing. Thank you for giving me the privilege of riding along on this ride with God the last 17 years. It's been an enjoyable ride, and I'm looking forward to however long the Lord allows me to continue to do that. And by the way, whoever made or got the bread for communion today, man, that was good bread. So, well, let's go ahead. As we close out this morning, if you want it, it's hymn number 1 in the hymn book, and we'll sing it through, and then we will go ahead and close out this morning. Majesty, worship his majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, power.
join together for our benediction this morning. I know. Go forth and continue God's work. Go forth and empowered and determined with God's blessing. Amen.